Welcoming to the program today, Chris Gorman, managing partner of IFEA. It's good to see you, Chris. Thanks for coming in today. Appreciate your time. And also welcoming Kelly O'Connor, who is president of IFEA Cares and already been on the show. We talked to you back in November, and we'll learn a little bit more about what you do with IFEA Cares throughout the course of the program.
Hey, good Francis.
To see you, Kelly.
Great to see you again.
Chris, we'll start with you. Tell us about what you do for government customers and some of the people, some of the agencies that you serve.
The core function that we provide is we are an IT consultancy. Mainly focused in both mobile planning as well as secure collaboration. We also do things that really try to tie mission to IT strategy, maybe through enterprise architecture, and then helping them figure out the art of the possible down to a prototype level.
Give me a little bit more of a definition of secure collaboration, what that means.
Well, specifically, we have been working for the past 2 years with a derivative of a system that came out of ODNI that was originally known as ASPACE. It's going through some changes now and will eventually be combined with some other systems in Intel to be known as iSpace.
Mm-hmm.
But it was something that Dr. Michael Wertheimer pulled together really as a result of the 9/11 commission findings for the agency really across the 17 participants in the IC to share information in a better, faster, more efficient way.
Mm-hmm.
They had tried, I'd say, more case management-like approaches once or twice with less success. And in the 2006-07 timeframe, they started embarking on a social media or social network-like approach.
Mm-hmm.
Ironically, at that time, you know, the MySpace was, you know, the leading kind of market site that people were going to.
And everybody was on MySpace.
And back in 2006 or 7, I think that was probably more true than Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Hence the name ASPACE for analyst space.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been working with a derivative of that to look at how information could be shared securely with the right policy support and implemented into the tool set across both the unclassed and then the CUI, or the controlled unclassified information arenas.
Okay. The mobile space is exploding, not just in government, but everywhere. It's somewhat complicated, I imagine, by the fact that a lot of the perceptions that end users have are perceptions they've developed by using their own stuff. What is the difference in deployment of mobile strategies in government from some other kinds of technology waves that the government's gone through because of the consumer element of it?
Well, I think that there are multiple forces at play here. And it all really goes back to what everybody's been talking about is the consumerization of IT.
Mm-hmm.
And looking at how do you take what, again, was, I think, something that throughout the 80s and 90s evolved over time of a COTS-based approach, a, you know, build versus buy
mm-hmm.
scenario, I think is really just its next evolution in how do we take consumer-based price points and introduce them in the right scenarios to take advantage of what is going to be shorter durations for deployment, easier support, as well as less capital expenditure for not only bringing new equipment in, but also supporting it from an O&M standpoint over time.
Mm-hmm.
So you have wide and almost, you know, rapid adoption like we've never seen before since I'd really even say the Industrial Revolution of how people are expecting services, personal services, in their everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the statistics are really shocking if you look at the number of things that happen. And I recently did a briefing just taking a snapshot in time in 1 minute, the number of different types of transactions that occur. And, you know, some of them are 196 million emails are sent every minute.
Mm-hmm.
The number of those being sent from mobile devices is dramatically pushing that up.
Mm-hmm.
There are 13,000 iPhone apps downloaded every minute. I think it's 270,000 minutes of YouTube video is
wow.
uploaded. There's a number of things that just occur over and over again, but it's driving the expectation that these things should be available.
Mm-hmm.
Where I think it gets, I wouldn't say confusing at this point, but other considerations start coming into play is as you look at how the consumer is viewing this into now the commercial enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
And what, you know, the large either, you know, Fortune 50 or Fortune 500 are attempting to do to bring technology into their workplace for increased profitability, providing additional access to documents, resources. So it's not just their sales team, but really the right portions of their organization have access to what they need, when they need it, wherever they are.
Mm-hmm.
So flash forward into the government in what I think has many more complex requirements that are put upon it, and some agencies, rightfully so, are safeguarding and sharing their information with only the select need-to-know participants, where you still have, I think, some groups within, you know, the civilian-based organizations that have more of a citizen-facing public aspect to their mission,
mm-hmm.
where introducing the technology throughout 2009, 10, and the better part of 11, they've been out in front. They've been doing some, cost-creative solutions to where they've been able to produce very good apps, provide services out to the public with very little budget being made available to them in order to accomplish what they've done to date.
Now, there are a whole lot of agencies that are trying to figure out what to do, trying to figure out strategies, not just for the deployment. And Steve Van Roekel talked about that last week, introduced an opportunity for people to comment on developing a strategy for mobile in government. But there are some agencies that are saying we're going to stand up an app store of our own. There are some agencies that are trying to figure out if they want to go into kind of a government-wide app store. There are just a lot of loose ends floating around out there right now, it seems like, in mobile. Is that fair for me to say, do you think?
It's absolutely accurate. The number of permutations that I think exist today and will, by certain, you know, if we had the same conversation in 6 months, be even greater.
Mm-hmm.
Mobile is the hottest spot in the, again, consumer marketplace. So as more and more providers come in to solve the problems of commercial enterprise, those will then bleed over with modifications as necessary to adapt to what government needs to do in order to take similar-based approaches to those COTS-based applications.
Mm-hmm.
So your choices today in what you may attempt to do for your strategy could be, you know, limited to three or four platforms,
mm-hmm.
Could be on multiple devices, could have a single MDM strategy coupled up with an app store or maybe an app management strategy on top of that. How you then look to determine what is going to not only be the short-term use case that you're going to make these decisions on, but really tying again back to mission, what is it that we really need to do?
Mm-hmm.
How are we best going to approach that to where the business case is going to support not only the efficiencies, but also the potential reductions in hardware and or other replacement of technology that they're already using today and supporting, and where can we swap those out at a cheaper price point and at the same time make people more efficient or happier in how they're performing their jobs.
Chris Gorman is managing partner of IFEA. Kelly O'Connor is president of IFEA Cares, and we'll continue our conversation on Industry Chatter in just a minute on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. You're listening to In Depth with Francis Rose.
Agencies must move three IT systems to the cloud by mid-2012. Email and workplace collaboration applications are among the most popular early choices, with a number of agencies already successfully moving to web-based email. Which agencies are leading the way? What can other federal employees learn from their experience? Tune in to Federal News Radio Tuesday, January 31st at noon to hear answers to these questions and learn how agencies are taking advantage of the cloud. January 31st, noon, on Federal News Radio, sponsored by Google.
In the beloved fairy tale Beauty and the Beast, Belle and the Beast learn that true beauty is found within and live happily ever after. Today, our happily ever afters are being threatened by the fact that nearly 1 in 3 children in America are overweight or obese. Now is the time to make good nutrition and physical activity part of your family's daily lifestyle. To learn more, visit letsmove.gov, brought to you by Let's Move, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and the Ad Council.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series, Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m., right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
I'm on a mission to spread the word about COPD through music. COPD stands for chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. My grandfather suffered from symptoms of it, and COPD is the fourth leading cause of death in the U.S. I'm Billy Ray Cyrus, and I drive for COPD. Looks like people are starting to get the message. Anyone age 35 and older who has smoked as little as 100 cigarettes could be at risk. Visit driveforcopd.com today and talk to your doctor.
Meeting mission goals through IT modernization, brought to you by General Dynamics IT.
Congress has added a roadblock to the Army's move to a government-operated cloud for enterprise email service. Language in this year's defense authorization bill requires the Army to put its move to the cloud on hold while it prepares various reports and business case analyses for the service operated by the Defense Information Systems Agency, and then reports back to lawmakers. The Army estimates it'll set back its transition to enterprise email by at least 45 days.
General Dynamics IT delivers the full strength of enterprise IT to drive innovation like infrastructure consolidation and modernization, cross-domain information sharing, cloud computing, Web 2.0, and a constant flow of new applications and IT services. General Dynamics IT helps government, military, and commercial organizations achieve new levels of productivity and mission effectiveness. General Dynamics IT brings together the expertise, technology, and best practices to deliver secure enterprise IT solutions. Go to GDIT.com to learn more. That's GDIT.com.
Tom Temin here with a preview of tomorrow's Federal Drive. We continue our coverage of the crucial sequestration debate. The Center for a New American Security weighs in with what this could mean to national defense. Plus, we'll find out why the U.S. is the number two power in the world of cybersecurity and who's number one. Those stories and more tomorrow morning, starting at 6 on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. And for all the latest federal news, be sure to visit federalnewsradio.com.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Chris Gorman and Kelly O'Connor from AFIA, my guests on Industry Chatter today. And we never stopped the conversation. Even when the mics were turned off, we kept on going. We're talking about native apps versus web apps, and the theory that I have had for a while that maybe over the next year to 18 months we'll see a lot more movement in government to web apps rather than native apps, just because of the diversity of devices that are out there. And there seems to be a horse race between Apple devices and in particular Android devices, but there's still a lot of BlackBerries around government too. And that, of course, depends on what happens with RIM over the next 12 to 18 months. But rather than trying to handicap that horse race, it strikes me that the web app in an HTML5 format might be the way to go. And Chris, you had some interesting thoughts about that during the break. Where do you see that? What do you see that landscape looking like in the foreseeable future?
Well, it's going to be a both rather than an either or.
Mm-hmm.
And really, our perspective from kind of serving a multitude of both DOD and, again, civilian-based participants is that the need for performance ultimately should factor in heavily on your decision as to which way you go. Our experience to date is that native apps, whether they are Android or iOS-based, really are performing the best overall user experience. And if that is paramount to the success and or adoption, I mean, the worst case scenario is you know, build it and they will come, and well, we'll build it and they don't come. And now you've spent all this time building something that is either hard to use or is inefficient for that person in the field to have maybe, you know, sub-second or, you know, very quick response times associated with the action they're attempting to perform within, you know, the app structure. Not to say that HTML5 web apps can't do that, but unless that need is there to have that higher level of performance, a web app makes a whole lot of sense. There is going to be a longer-term cost benefit in a heterogeneous device agnostic agency strategy, in that you're not going to need to constantly update and keep in line with the version updates associated with each native app if you can have one central kind of belly button to push on each HTML5 web app. So the user experience will be consistent. And in addition to that, your O&M cost over time certainly will be less.
How do you decide whether an app should be working at maximum performance, as you said, or whether good enough is good enough?
Well, in our opinion, everything, you know, regardless of mobile, but from the pure IT strategy work we do, everything goes back to mission. And if we are looking at what the mission needs are in the context of the development, then the requirements associated with how that app needs to perform through any type of maybe light JAD user involved sessions in testing the app, certainly will help you come to that determination quickly.
Overall, what are the things, what are the questions that agencies are asking about mobile strategy, not just apps, but more broadly? What are the questions that they're asking, and what are the questions that they're not, that maybe they should be asking or at least thinking about?
Well, I think that there's really two ends of the spectrum here. One is approaching it as we were describing, from how do you just extend the system and or mission capabilities to more users by making sure that the risk associated with allowing access to another endpoint is reasonable, has fit within whatever CNA process has been predefined, and somebody signing off saying that this makes sense, let's move forward with that. And the other end of the spectrum is we want to make sure that every device, regardless of what it is completely safe to use. And again, safe being a word that will have to be defined to every individual agency's particular needs and requirements. And therefore, it can be deployed, and whatever is used on it is going to be allowed, approved through both security, including privacy and policy related issues and activities, and certainly kind of have the CIO blessing that it's okay for the mission side of the house to go out and start using these devices, again, agnostically of whatever they are, for whatever purposes that they would want. The comments that we've received, and we were at a DOD location yesterday for a couple hours discussing these very topics, and some of their frustrations along the planning that they've done, and they've been working, I think, very diligently for a long time, is that regardless of how they're looking at their business cases, is that ultimately they have to wait for an NSA-approved device. And until they get that level of approval that, yes, it's okay to move out on this particular device or configuration, you know, DOD has a few STIGs that have been approved, that their options are severely limited for them to then go on to the next level of planning in how they would start building apps to support that particular device configuration.
We reported yesterday that NSA has released a version of Android, a secure version of Android, SE Android. It's based on a secure Linux. So that's one step headed in that direction. How far off is something like that, in your estimate, from being ready to go? Not just necessarily for for the military, but in government in general, where CIOs can be confident that what they've got is as secure as they can get it based on what we know.
Well, it's there are multiple parties mm-hmm. involved in getting to even that level of certification and validation. And in some ways, it's a very big burden, I think, on NIST, in that they are getting more and more vendors looking, picking out FIPS 140-2 to make sure that the due diligence is being done so that they can get through the certification process and make these available. And the pressure, I think, that's coming down is from multiple touch points, multiple agencies all wanting to have their particular solutions reviewed, approved, so that they can move forward.
Mm-hmm.
The overall, I think, direction of how this moves forward is going to be a hybrid of maybe not pure consumerization IT price points, and just using, for example, the Dell Streak, which was approved. The question comes into play is that truly now considered a consumer device, or will the support cost associated with that be structured somewhat differently?
Mm-hmm.
And that's, again, something that the DoD group that we were working with yesterday brought up, is that, yes, they've received approval, and, yes, they are moving out to start building things on the Dell Streaks, but the fact that at the time that NIST certification and NSA approvals, did move forward, Dell, was not keeping this in their mainstream consumer line anymore. And so are you somewhat then hampered in it? And I don't see that as a negative, but it's just a reality that government is its own environment, and the idea of bringing pure consumer devices into the government environment isn't going to be always an easy one for people to adhere to. It's going to have to be something in between.
I want to talk more about some of the elements of the comments that you've made there, trying to figure out what pricing might look like, price points might look like. I'm still a little curious about the business model in the apps world. Provide for vendors that are providing apps to agencies. So we can talk about that a little bit, and the concept of COTS, which for years was anathema to anybody in government, and there seem to be a lot more people willing to get on that bandwagon now. But I want to learn more about the kind of the signature effort that you folks put into EFIA Cares when we come back. And so we'll talk to you about that, Chris, and we'll bring in Kelly O'Connor on this conversation when In-Depth with Francis Rose continues on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today's Industry Chatter on In-Depth with Francis Rose.
Navy Rear Admiral Retired Elizabeth A. Height, Vice President, U.S. Public Sector Cybersecurity Practice, HP Enterprise Services, on the Cybersecurity Combating Threats to Our Software Environment panel, sponsored by Hewlett-Packard.
We look at applications and software development from an architectural view today. At least we should, because quite frankly, it's so much easier to design security in than to find the thousands or tens of thousands of vulnerabilities that might exist in that software at a later date once deployed.
Could your IT security have made you less secure? Traditional IT security defenses, firewalls, encryption, and intrusion detection systems are extremely effective, and that's the problem. They're so good that the bad guys are now training their sights on a new target: exploitable vulnerabilities in software applications. HP can help governments secure mission-critical applications by designing security in from the beginning, finding the vulnerabilities inside existing software, and fixing them quickly and cost-effectively. To learn more, visit federalnewsradio.com/HP.
Moving your enterprise to the cloud doesn't mean you have to let go of IT control. With BMC's proven cloud lifecycle management from IronBow, you can visualize and manage data and applications in public, private, or hybrid clouds through a single pane of glass. It gives you the control you need to deliver peak performance for users. Find out more about BMC Cloud Lifecycle Management and the BMC Public Sector Forum at ironbow.com. Keep your IT in view and under control in the cloud.
When every moment matters and a hand reaches out, when someone gives blood and a life is saved, that moment when heartbreak turns to hope, you're there through the American Red Cross. Every day, the Red Cross responds to nearly 200 neighborhood emergencies, and your support makes it possible. Use this moment to join us today. Visit redcross.org.
When you build the world's most complex ships for the U.S. Navy and U.S. Coast Guard, there's no question you know how to do the hard stuff right. At Huntington Ingalls Industries, it's what we do every day. We are a 125-year-old new company built upon the foundation of two legends, Newport News Shipbuilding and Ingalls Shipbuilding, with an unwavering focus on safety, quality, cost, and schedule. Huntington Ingalls Industries. Hard stuff done right. Visit HuntingtonIngalls.com today.
Coffee up, depression down. From the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, I'm Ira Dreyfuss with HHS HealthBeat. This isn't a medical treatment, but a study finds that women who drink more coffee are less likely to develop clinical depression. Researchers at the Harvard School of Public Health saw that in 10 years of data on about 50,700 women with an average age of 63 who had no diagnosis of clinical depression at the start. Researcher Fariba Mirzaieh.
The risk of depression appears to decrease for women with increasing consumption of caffeinated coffee.
Women who drank 4 cups of coffee a day had a 20% lower risk than women who drank little or no coffee. The study found no benefit from drinking products containing less caffeine or decaf. The study in Archives of Internal Medicine was supported by the National Institutes of Health. Learn more at hhs.gov. HHS HealthBeat is a production of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Ira Dreyfuss.
The Federal News Radio Community Spotlight is the Capital Area Food Bank. Sitting down to 3 meals a day shouldn't be a choice, but over 640,000 residents in the National Capital Region are forced to choose daily. Record numbers of families and children are struggling to get enough food to eat. Help the Capital Area Food Bank feed our neighbors in need. For more information, visit federalnewsradio.com. This message brought to you by Papa John's and Federal News Radio.
Thanks for listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today on Industry Chatter, the IFEA Group, Chris Gorman is managing partner there, and he's in studio along with Kelly O'Connor, the president of IFEA Cares. And Kelly, it's good to talk to you again. You were on the program a little while back talking about this, but why? How does IFEA Cares and what you do there fit with the mission of the company and the way you serve clients in government?
Well, IFEA Cares is our nonprofit 501c3 organization. Our mission is to lessen the burden of government. We've been in operation for about a year now, and we've delivered some very successful programs that support veterans and military families. But what we also do through the nonprofit is make some of our tools freely available to government. Mm-hmm. So we've been talking a lot about mobile this morning. Mm-hmm. So we have an M-Plan offering, which is a methodology that helps government agencies actually develop an enterprise mobile strategy and then deploy that strategy cost effectively. Well, we've got some pretty robust tools available in M-Plan, and we make some of those freely available to government. People can just go to our website and sign up for those.
We have a link for that at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. What are some of the things that you have available in that realm? What can people do?
Well, like a great offering we have is a half-day planning workshop. We've conducted several of these so far, gotten great feedback from government participants. So it's a half-day workshop that helps government agencies get started developing their enterprise mobile strategy. Mm-hmm. So they come to our office. They have to bring a cross-functional team. What we don't
not
want
a whole
is
bunch
the
of
CIO
IT geeks.
And IT people. Exactly. So we have a discussion that includes security and privacy and data management and, of course, end users. Mm-hmm. And what people get from that half-day workshop is a very detailed report that tells them where they are today in terms of a mobile maturity baseline, and then it identifies some areas of opportunity as well as risk and next steps specific to their agency. And we've gotten great feedback on that so far.
Now, Chris, What's the advantage to you as a company and the advantage to an agency as a potential customer for a structure like this, for essentially you're a nonprofit that works in conjunction with a contracting company?
Well, we actually are three companies within the AFIA group. And the idea was that we were going to build the company around typically how we wanted to do business.
Mm-hmm.
And it the three steps, I would say, is that AFIA Consulting is the IT consultancy that we've been speaking about earlier today.
Mm-hmm.
And the advantage that we have in there, based on the conversations that we are often brought into, is to really examine what are the challenges that that government is facing. And sometimes there's not a direct answer. Often from the perspective that we're in, we'll do either a formal or informal analysis of alternatives, see what the industry has already brought to bear, or if there are approaches that have been vetted and warranted that meet these requirements. If not, and we think that this is something that truly warrants additional discussion, we move it into our next company, which is called AFIA Creations. Basically, it's an R&D shop,
mm-hmm.
But we fully fund this on our own funding based on the profit and revenue we're bringing into our consulting group. And I'd look at it as more of a not just like a think tank, but kind of a think and do tank,
mm-hmm.
In that we're looking at how we would approach something and then start the process of building out those solutions. In the case of M-Plan, it was originally a methodology that eventually became a tool set to support the methodology so that we could better communicate the net results of that in short bursts that participants could take, use, begin conversations, and really start fostering the right questions on their own,
mm-hmm.
that would help them. Whether or not they're working with us in the consulting organization, really was irrelevant. We were just looking to try to get the conversation started and then further the discussion on the right topics and the right types of things that we were seeing collectively. And rather than try to bring this through kind of a larger kind of industry working group, we decided it would be more practical just to put it into the hands of the government participants directly themselves.
I want to talk some more, Kelly, when we come back about the what people are saying when they're coming in to these workshops, and maybe how their minds change or perceptions change after they have a chance to work through some of the things that you have them do. We'll do that. Excuse me, do that when we come back on Industry Chatter on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. You're listening to In Depth with Francis Rose. Our conversation continues in a moment.
You hear the sounds of hammers and saws, but it's also the sound of freedom and independence. Across America, people are supporting Homes for Our Troops build specially adapted homes for our severely injured veterans. Now, it's your turn to help Sergeant Stephen Kiernan, who lost both legs while serving in Iraq. He volunteered to protect our freedom. You can volunteer your time, donate materials, or make a cash donation to this effort. Visit homesforourtroops.org or call 866-7-TROOPS.
Hi, this is O'Donna Matthews. What does three decades of service add up to? For the Capital Area Food Bank, it includes these important numbers. Distributing 25 million pounds of food to nearly 500,000 people through a network of 700 partner agencies. 30 years, it's a long time, but the mission continues to make sure that no one is left hungry. To learn more, contribute, or volunteer, visit CapitalAreaFoodBank.org.
Join host Michael Keegan for a special edition of the Business of Government Hour. Leaders Speak, a conversation on leadership and public service. What makes an effective leader? Why pursue a career in public service? Over a dozen past and current government executives shared their extended reflection on the next Business of Government Hour.
Newsmakers on In Depth with Francis Rose.
Steve Van Roekel revealing this national dialogue on the federal mobility strategy at CES. Tim Hext is chief technology officer at Agilex.
The mobile issue is demanding, you know, more focused attention. And so what I see in this is him saying, this is going to be the year of mobility. We're going to focus on it. We're going to get everybody on the same sheet of music. We're going to build on the successes.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/in-depth.
This is NIH Health Matters. I'm Joe Belinfi. Based on just two questions from a newly released guide, healthcare professionals could spot children and teenagers at risk for alcohol-related problems.
The name of the new guide is Alcohol Screening and Brief Intervention for Youth, a Practitioner's Guide.
Dr. Vivian Faden is from the NIH.
The idea is that we help clinicians overcome the time constraints and other common barriers that keep them from doing as much youth alcohol screening as we would like.
Researchers know that underage drinking has consequences, including academic and social problems, as well as risk for alcohol dependence and injury or death. For more on the guide, visit www.niaaa.nih.gov. Health Matters is produced by the NIH, part of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Coffee up, depression down. From the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, I'm Ira Dreyfuss with HHS HealthBeat. This isn't a medical treatment, but a study finds that women who drink more coffee are less likely to develop clinical depression. Researchers at the Harvard School of Public Health saw that in 10 years of data on about 50,700 women with an average age of 63 who had no diagnosis of clinical depression at the start. Researcher Fariba Mirzaieh.
The risk of depression appears to decrease for women with increasing consumption of caffeinated coffee.
Women who drank 4 cups of coffee a day had a 20% lower risk than women who drank little or no coffee. The study found no benefit from drinking products containing less caffeine or decaf. The study in Archives of Internal Medicine was supported by the National Institutes of Health. Learn more at hhs.gov. HHS HealthBeat is a production of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Ira Dreyfuss.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guests on Industry Chatter today from the IFEA Group. Chris Gorman is managing partner and Kelly O'Connor is president of IFEA Cares. And I'm convinced at some point throughout the hour I'm going to call you Kelly O'Connell because I went to school with a young lady named Kelly O'Connell that was a long time ago. So I'm amazed I haven't done it yet, but I appreciate both of you being here today. You talked about these workshops that you put on for agencies, and I'm curious to know, when the folks come into these, and the point of them is to try to figure out what is an appropriate mobile strategy for our agency, really fits our mission and works for the people that work at the agency, what are some of the perceptions or maybe misperceptions that they have when they come in, and how do mindsets or attitudes or perceptions change throughout the course of the exercises?
Well, it's funny because we've had a pretty consistent experience. When people start the free workshop, they're really excited to talk about apps. There's an app for that. They want to talk a lot about mobile apps. And
right.
We like apps. We think that's very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
But we also think it's easy.
Mm-hmm.
So what we try to do in the workshop is to get them talking about some of the harder things. How do I build a business case for mobile?
Mm-hmm.
How do I identify and prioritize mobile requirements across the enterprise? How do I scale my 100-person, very successful mobile pilot to 50,000 people and get it to a production environment?
Mm-hmm.
So we try to move from the fun, exciting stuff in mobile to the harder questions that are specific to government.
Mm-hmm.
We do it in a way that's pretty different from any consulting workshop I've ever done. As I mentioned, it's a half-day workshop. We do the first half is a facilitated discussion with a lot of those questions, including why mobile.
Mm-hmm.
So if agencies are doing mobile initiatives that don't result in cost savings or don't improve mission capabilities, they should really think about why they're doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But then the second part of the workshop, we use one of our patent-pending mobile apps, Creator Pro, and we actually have participants go through the app and answer questions anonymously. So we've actually got some quantitative data at the end of the workshop, and it's just an engaging way to get people talking about this. So The output is a pretty detailed report, gives them their mobile baseline and some specifics in terms of next steps, in terms of risks and opportunities based on the data that we collect in the workshop.
Kelly, you make a point there that reminds me of the conversation that went on about social media maybe 3 years ago or a little longer in government, and that is really assessing why you're doing it. And I imagine that there are some folks in government that want to get into the mobile space just for the sake of being in the mobile space, the same way some people a couple of years back decided we're going to start a Facebook page for our agency and didn't have any idea what the content was going to be or what the potential audience was going to be or who they were going to try to convey information to or from or any of that. Are you still seeing some of that, Chris, in the mobile space?
Short answer, yes. And the, I think, driving force on that comes, I think, from the misperception that the government should equip every single government employee and or contractor with some type of handheld mobile device.
Mm-hmm.
If it is warranted, yes. But if there is not the strong mission need for that, I question at this point in time, with budget constraints as they are, not only the costs associated with the acquisition of those devices, or what would then be the additional cost in a bring-your-own-device scenario, even if you get through the policy and the privacy implications, just from an O&M standpoint and mm-hmm. how you would then support a community as diverse and large as that.
Do you see in these workshops, Kelly, folks who are not convinced that there needs to be a mobile strategy, that maybe this is all a waste of time, or are we kind of past that at this point?
We haven't seen that. I mean, when we go out and present some of our tools at conferences, one of the first questions we'll ask is, who has an enterprise mobile strategy?
Mm-hmm.
We don't get many hands getting raised, but I don't think anyone's doubting the need for it. I think the fragmented kind of proliferation of pilots is kind of proving that out now.
Mm-hmm.
People have all these pilots, and they can't make sense of them. They don't
right.
understand how they're performing, what's the value, how do we actually move them ahead to the next step. So
mm-hmm.
I would say we haven't heard that there's not a need for a mobile strategy. We've heard the opposite, like, help us, how do we get started?
Yeah. Is the scalability the hardest part that people wrestle with when they have a pilot? We have some results. We have a sense of how well it did or didn't do, but now what do we do?
I think that's a piece of it, but I think it's the whole picture, because when you're going from a pilot to a production environment, you've got to think about security, privacy, how your organization's going to support it, policy compliance. So
mm-hmm.
it's the whole host of things that our tools are designed to kind of help government get their hands around.
Kelly O'Connor's president of AFIA Cares, and Chris Gorman's managing partner of the AFIA Group, my guests on Industry Chatter today on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. We'll wrap up our conversation in just a moment.
It is one of our most sophisticated drones, and Iran claims that it was hijacked using a flaw in the GPS guidance system. They got the drone to think that it was in Afghanistan when it was actually still in Iran, and so the drone landed at its home base, thinking it was home base,
right.
but actually it was in Iran.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
When every moment matters and a hand reaches out, when someone gives blood and a life is saved, that moment when heartbreak turns to hope, you're there through the American Red Cross. Every day, the Red Cross responds to nearly 200 neighborhood emergencies, and your support makes it possible. Use this moment to join us today. Visit redcross.org.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth, every Saturday at 10 a.m. here on Federal News Radio. This week, my special guest is Caroline Adams Miller, an amazing coach and a best-selling author of Creating Your Best Life, The Ultimate Life List Guide. Tune in to listen to Caroline. The show is brought to you by Odin Feldman & Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Vienna, Virginia. Visit us on the web at ofplaw.com.
Your new Cocker Spaniel is waiting to meet you, and you don't have to travel very far. This weekend and almost every weekend, Oldies But Goodies Cocker Spaniel Rescue holds at least one adoption show in the greater D.C. area. Find out where we'll be this weekend by checking out CockerSpanielRescue.com. Stop by to meet the many homeless Cockers of all ages who are looking for their new home. These dogs have already been spayed or neutered and have all their shots. For more information on adoption, fostering, or volunteering, visit CockerSpanielRescue.com.
Welcome to today's lottery drawing. And today's winning numbers are not yours, not yours, and another number that's not yours. And the final number is not yours.
When it comes to having money, don't rely on luck. Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
My family struggled, and it was assumed that while I would go to college, I would have to pay for it myself.
Charlie wasn't sure how to get the money she needed for college. Then she found out about federal student aid and the FAFSA.
I don't think I quite realized what a huge deal actually graduating was. Federal student aid definitely made that happen.
Need help planning and paying for college? Find out more at college.gov.
My name is Charlie, and this is my story.
Listen each week for Tech Tuesday on Federal News Radio. Every Tuesday, we zero in on how technology inspires innovation. Tuesday mornings at 11, it's Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy, the latest on products that help bring policy to life. Then Tuesday afternoons at 12:30, join Federal News Radio's Jason Miller for Ask the CIO. Hear from the top of the food chain on how your agency is using technology today. Tech Tuesday, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Chris Gorman and Kelly O'Connor of IFEA are with me today on Industry Chatter. One component, Chris, that we have not talked about at all in mobile is how it intersects with cloud computing. And if I hear the words cloud computing once, I hear them 5,000 times a week talking about technology in government. What do you see the intersection there looking like? Maybe not 6 months from now, but a year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now. I know it's hard to predict because of how quickly technology changes. But what are the trend lines that you're seeing there?
Well, mobile is going to be not only a catalyst, but I think it is going to be the predominant end user way to have access to whatever information and or data. Or access to what they need to know, when they need to know it, and the where portion of it, I would hope in another year or two should be solved.
Mm-hmm.
Initially, I think agencies will start looking at what are the things that they can put out into a cloud-based environment, whether it is a government-led data center or moving to one of the multiple now private data centers that have their FISMA certification and compliance.
Mm-hmm.
As that starts happening, I think the natural evolution is, all right, how much of the unclass data can we put securely into one of those cloud-based facilities? And if you really look at it, 80, I would guess, plus percent of all the data, you know, in the government falls into that realm. Eventually, I think we'll get into how do you handle, again, CUI type data. And maybe there's always going to be a segmentation to where you have secret and top secret off on its own, rightfully so.
Mm-hmm.
But if we look at where the cost savings will be, as we start looking at, again, how do we get the right mobile strategy in place that enables the security to not only exist on the device, but also a data security strategy associated with what information needs to be accessed through the cloud, then mobile's an open door, I think, ubiquitously.
Kelly, as we look at these things and you have people coming in and you're dealing with these folks face-to-face and getting a sense of where they're headed, is this a positive experience? Is this something that people are excited about, or is this something that they're doing because it's something that they see as necessary, that they're kind of being pushed in this direction?
I think they're excited about it. I think there's probably an element of fear mm-hmm. and trepidation, but I think we've seen people very excited about it, and how does government kind of catch up to the private sector?
Mm-hmm. That whole dynamic, I think, is fascinating because in the time that I've been paying attention to technology and government, this seems to be the first really big one that's being driven by the end users and not by OMB or by a visionary CIO leader, somebody like that. This seems to be the first one that's coming from the ground up. Is that accurate on my part, do you think?
I would say yes, it is. And the second one that's probably not going to be far behind is the Facebook mm-hmm. crowd. And the next generation coming into the government workforce, the statistics are there. Facebook usage is up over 40% from 2010.
Mm-hmm.
The number of transactions that happen on any given minute within Facebook is just astounding. The way that we will communicate within departments, across departments even, I think will eventually fall into that secure social media like context mm-hmm. where we're not hitting reply all to emails, that we're having access to content in an open discussion form, that things are readily available and they are not only there for you to search on, but they're also being pushed to you the same way that on LinkedIn or other social sites, it suggests that, hey, here are some other people that you know.
Mm-hmm.
These systems are already being vetted out right now in certain government agencies to allow the information, again, based on role, based on access, to be brought forward to the people that need to have access to them, and how we're going to eventually have access to those types of intra-government secure systems will be through mobile.